But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood and make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are going to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth and destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him.
You may be seated. Thanks, Ed. Oh, yeah, kids' church. Yeah. After the offertory. I'm sorry you kids didn't hear me. Ed Brown was a perfect one for reading that scripture this morning because it's about a boat, and Ed likes boats, and he's a sailor at heart. Story about Noah, a man of faith. Very popular name for God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Jireh. Does anybody know what that means? The provider. He provides everything we need. Go back to Noah, you go back to Adam and Eve, and certainly we see the ultimate provision in Jesus Christ. So many examples in my personal life, my family, how God has provided, and I may touch on a couple of those as we go through this morning. Noah was a man of faith in God. You turn to the New Testament, which we did not read, from Hebrews chapter 11. Now, anybody, if you're familiar with the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 is about what? Faith. It's the hall of fame of faith. All the characters that are mentioned there. Gideon and so forth, and Joshua. But here's Noah is mentioned in that passage in the New Testament. Hebrews 11, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when warned against things not yet seen, catch that phrase, not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world. Whoa, condemned the world. And became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Over and over in these few short passages, Noah, by faith, a man of faith. Can that be said of you? Are you a man or a woman of faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Dare I ask this morning, is there anyone here that does not want to please God? I hope there's no hands going up, because I'll just say, hey, I'll talk to you later, you know, take me out to lunch or something. But you all want to please God? Yeah, I mean, right. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we, like Noah, we're going to use him as a case study this morning, are to be men and women of faith. How? How do we have faith to please God? What I want to do is So look at Noah's life for a few moments before we have communion. So we're going to be just a little bit more on the brief side today. How do we demonstrate that we are men and women of faith like him? Noah is a case study, and simply for some handles for us to get a hold of his life as we look at this passage in Genesis, I want to share four personal core values. And I underscore that, and I pick those words very carefully. Personal core values for demonstrating faith in God. Well, what are core values? Core values are the values that make what we are and how we live, the very substance of who we are and how we choose to live our daily lives and the choices we make. Those are our core values. So let's look at Noah's life from Genesis 6, where he demonstrates faith in God. And I want to share briefly four core values from his life that we need to plug into our lives. First one, our worldview established in God's existence. I say, Pastor, that's just, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Well, I wish it was that easy, but it's not. Our worldview established in God's existence. Verse 8, chapter 6, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. What does the Lord see when he sees you? Seriously. What does the Lord see when he sees you? Noah was different from everyone around him. He found favor in the eyes of God. No one else did. He was very different. He was different because his worldview was different. His worldview, his life centered around God. His life was God-centered. Theologically, we call that he was theistic-centered. His whole life revolved around God. For us in the New Testament, as followers of Jesus, we would be Christocentric-centered, Christ-centered. Noah believed God, and he lived to please God, which led to a life of favor in God's eyes. How awesome that is. Verse 9 says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And what a way to live. And what a testimony. That if God could come down to Mercer County and the greater area, and he could put his finger on you and say, there's a righteous man, there's a righteous woman, blameless among all the people that live in this area. So his lifestyle and his total way of life was different. Different. Because he lived to please God. He believed in God's existence, and he believed that God's will was number one top priority in his life. His life was established in God, not in society. Not in the values of his world. Not in self, nor in anything else. His whole core value and how he lived and approached life, his whole worldview was established in God. Actually, philosophically, certainly theologically, man cannot live without God. I think we are proving that in our society today, in our culture, where we're trying to eliminate God from everything. Just get God out of the marketplace. Get God out of life. Get God out of your lifestyles. Get God out of your values. Man cannot live. And we are degenerating. Do you want to live by faith in God? Then God must become the reason that we live. God must become the reason that we live. We don't live because of me. I'm living for me. God becomes the very reason. Is our worldview or everything that shapes our thinking and our way of life established in God, in his person, in his attributes, in the fact that he does exist, in his very character, in his very nature? His will and his purpose becomes number one in my personal life. And I have to just pause for a moment to let that go through and let you chew on that. That his will and his purpose must become top priority in your life. If you want to find favor in the eyes of God and you want to be different from everyone else around you, top priority is in Jesus. And this will mean that we will live and we will think differently. Tough question. maybe a very tough question for some of you young adults and some of you teens. Are you willing to be different than everyone else around you? And I'm not talking about whether you wear cut, ripped up jeans or not. You know, that's a minor thing. I'm talking about being different the way you think and how you approach life and your purpose for living and who you are. For Noah, this meant building an ark. No big deal, right? Build an ark, 450 feet long, a football field and a half long, out in the middle of nowhere where it had never rained. And God, and through Noah, he began to prophesy and say, something's coming, and he began to condemn the world. And he was willing to build this ark, an absurd concept in his society. Absurd. It's going to rain? You're building this big boat? Noah, you're nuts, you're wacko. But he was willing to be different. And why? Because Noah was living by God's revelation and not man-centered reason. Amen. George Mueller. If you've never read George Mueller's autobiography, I would highly encourage you to read it. A pastor in England that started orphanages in the 1800s because of the major problem with orphans and child labor laws and those kinds of things. And George Mueller was willing to be different. That he started these orphanages, he would not even let anybody know what they needed. I say, oh, I mean, he should at least let somebody know that they needed eggs or they needed milk or they needed money to pay the mortgage. His commitment to God was, I will be different. And it's not all about what you can do for me. It's about what God's going to provide. Jehovah Jireh. And he would not even let people know, hey, we need eggs for breakfast tomorrow for all these hundreds of kids. We need milk. He'd just say, we need money. We need money to pay the, quote, mortgage and the taxes next month. He would not let anybody know. And God provided. He was different. Faith in God means that God is at the center of our total way of life. It becomes Christ-centered. Excuse me. Our second core value, our daily living in fellowship in God's presence. Daily living in fellowship with God in His presence. I love verse 9. He walked with God. I mean, just connect with that. He walked with God. I mean, wow. What an epitaph on your tombstone. Not da-da-da, you know. He walked with God. Man, if my kids say that about me, that would be wonderful. And I love that, he walked with God. That is a biblical phrase signifying a person's close and intimate fellowship with God. And Noah had it. Do you walk with God? For us, this is going to mean living in the conscious awareness of God's presence daily and moment by moment by the presence of His Holy Spirit. It's an awesome way to live. It's like a couple in love. And I'll have to say, Connie's downstairs, so this is really good. Somebody's going to run and tell her afterwards, you know. And I like to be near her, you know, if we have a church picnic or a church party. And I'll talk to some of you. It's I don't mind. I'll talk to Skip. I'll talk to Rick. I'll talk to John. After a while, I'm tired of those guys. I'm going to go find my wife. Sorry, Skip.
Thank
yeah, thank goodness. Right. Yeah. I want to be near my wife. You know, I want to touch her. I want to be close. Yes, living in the presence of God moment by moment by the presence of the Holy Spirit, it means, without a doubt, we're going to pray. We're going to have those basic disciplines of Bible study and personal worship and corporate worship like we're doing on Sunday morning. However, it is much more intense than that. We live in His presence and we are aware of Him as we live and move and make our choices in life. We develop our relationships, those four T's that are so part of our lives, the relationships we have, our time and our talents and our treasures. Everything is filtered by, I'm in His presence. Faith in God. And that's what we're talking about. Faith in God flows out of intimate fellowship of His personal presence. And for us as Christians, the personal presence of Jesus by His Holy Spirit. Third core value, our obedience to God's will. Our obedience to God's will. Verse 22, you got to love this. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Man, I'll be honest, you know, standing here in 2017 and looking back, and this was before chainsaws and power tools, and this was this dude building this 450-foot long ark boat. Man. You can check out all the time sequences and how long it took to do that. But he built it exactly the way God said, exact dimensions, in every detail, animals coming in, food and so forth, and all that stuff. Three tiers. By the way, the bottom tier was probably for the manure. That's my guess. I don't know. But, you know, there was food and all those kinds of things. But Noah obeyed God's will in the face of a sinful world. And people would scoff and laugh. They said, it's going to rain. And he condemned them. God's salvation is coming. You've got to listen to God. And they made fun of him. And he obeyed God's will because God's will comes first. Matthew 6:33, my life verse. Jesus said, seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. And everything else is going to be added and provided. Young people, young adults, teens, when it comes to choosing that future spouse, that future partner, that person that you want to marry, make sure it's God's will first. But not only for you young guys, it's for all of us. God's will. If we want to walk by faith, we got to choose to obey God in everything. And you look at that passage in the Hebrews 11. That chapter, the Great Hall of Fame of Faith. And you see men like Abraham and Gideon and so forth. And every specific thing God that asked them to do. Some of it by absurd by today's standards. But God said, this is what I want you to do. And they did it. They obeyed. They were men and women of faith. Our obedience to God must be rooted in detailed obedience to Jesus Christ. Jesus' kingdom and his righteousness first. Certainly that involves the two greats in the New Testament. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And that great commission of going and preaching the gospel and making disciples. We are all under that. But very specifically, when God says, I want you to do this, I want you to move here, this is the kind of ministry that I want you to have, this is the kind of job that I want you to have, this is the person I want you to choose as your spouse, this is where I want you to go to college, this is where I don't want you to go to college, this is what I want you to do with your life. His will first. His will first. Fourth core value, our total dependence upon God's provision. And this is where we get in trouble. Chapter 7, verse 1, which we did not read. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family. And most of you know the story. They go into the ark. God shuts the door. God shuts the door. And the rains came. They ended up staying in there. And God provided everything that they needed. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I want to be stuck in a 450 long boat, wooden boat, tar, pitch on the inside and the outside with a bunch of crazy animals. I can't see any great joy in that. Now, Connie and I have been on a number of cruises. I'm sure some of you have too. And they're not like being cruising on the ark. But that's exactly what they needed. I like to preach on the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. 5,000 men plus women and children, and they were hungry. And the disciples, we got to go out and buy stuff, and they didn't have money. And Jesus says, "Well, what do you have?" Well, we have a little boy here with five loaves and two small fish. Probably not like those big stripers that Shane and the guys caught yesterday, but two small little fish and five loaves. Fed to 5,000 men. But you know the key to that, which I love, it was bread and fish. There was no tartar sauce, no ketchup, no iced tea, no fries. And nobody complained. I guarantee some of you would complain. Where's the tartar sauce? Where's the ketchup? Man, I need my iced tea. I need my cup of coffee. But God provides what we need. God knows what we need. See, do you believe and trust Him? I mean, God has been so unbelievably real in my life and my and Connie's life and our family over the years to know exactly what we've needed. Down to finding a $20 bill in the rain on a few days before Christmas to buy kids presents. I've shared that story a number of times over the years here, and others. For Noah, it was an ark. It was a big old boat with a bunch of animals, and they stunk. Really, seriously. And that was what God knew they needed, and He provided. And anybody that wanted salvation had to be in that boat. Faith in God is demonstrated when we rest in His provision, whatever it will be, and what we may think that we really need, but we don't need. So let me summarize, and we're going to share the Lord's table together. From Noah, we discover these four core values for living by faith. One is in the person of God. Our worldview is established in the person of God, our Heavenly Father. The person of Jesus. Second is the presence of God. Our daily fellowship of living, moving, walking with Him in His presence. The presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The third is that pathway to obedience. The path of obedience to God's will. Where His will comes first. Top priority is His kingdom. And then fourth, provision of God. Our total dependence upon His provision. Even though it may not be what we think we need, He knows exactly what we need. Faith, trust, and dependence upon the Lord's will. Here's the challenge, and it's for you to decide how you will respond. Will you live by faith in God like Noah? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would speak to us in these moments. Forgive us when we have doubted, when we have tried to walk by sight. Touch us now by Your Spirit. Minister to us, Lord, as we share these communion elements together in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask our men that will be assisting if they will come. A couple words of instruction for those that might be visiting. Our communion table is an open table. That means ecclesiologically, church government by wise, that you do not have to be a member of Edinburgh Road Chapel. You do not have to be a member of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. But you do need to be a member of God's family, and that comes by faith and trust in Jesus, where you have repented and you've dealt with your sin and said, Jesus, I want You to be the Lord of my life. That's how we become part of His family. We're born into His family. Children, kids that are here, teens, you're welcome to participate as long as your parents understand what these elements represent. Your parent explained that to you. These elements are not the tangible flesh and blood of Jesus. These are symbolic. They represent the shed blood and broken body of Jesus. We are not drinking blood. We are not eating flesh. We are eating a matzah cracker with grape juice that represents the body of Christ. But very, very important, symbolic as they may be, very important that we take these things and drink them in remembrance of him. Men, would you come? No crackers. That's okay. No problem. Don't worry. It happens. God did a trick on us today. He decided to take the matzo crackers and just go. No, it's okay. It's okay. We're the family of God, right? We're brothers and sisters in Jesus, and we do this once a month, and we'll do it again next month. So if we skip a month on the bread or the cracker, the matzo cracker, we're not going to get a 2x4 in a head from God. So let's take a moment to just thank the Lord for his broken body, that we're not going to eat a matzo cracker. God's in charge of everything. And sometimes I think God really has a humor, sense of humor, that he said, okay, see how you people are going to respond to this, okay? So we'll just chuckle, have a great moment, and we'll remember this in the history of Edinburgh Road Chapel. It may end up as a chapter in my book, the Sunday we had no matzo crackers. So let's give thanks for the broken body of Jesus, even though we're not going to eat it. Mark, would you give thanks?
Sure. Father, Sovereign Lord, we are just so thankful and so grateful that your sacrifice and your unconditional love was granted upon us so that we can spend eternity in your presence. Father, your broken and pierced body, beaten, whipped, things that we couldn't even imagine here in the United States going through. But Father, let us remember everything that you went through in a way that, to know of your unconditional love for us, that you stood there voluntarily and went through all of that so that we might be saved.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, we praise you and we worship you, and we just bow down before you as our King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Jesus also took the cup and said that the cup represented his blood. It was his blood. It's through his blood that we have forgiveness, cleansing from sin. Now, if we didn't have any juice, then we know that God did a real miracle today. Now, the men are going to serve you. Just hold your cup, and then we will drink together. But this cup represents the shed blood of Jesus. Grape juice. Some churches use wine. I think in heaven we're going to drink new wine with Jesus. Some people use berry juice and, you know, all kinds of stuff all over the world. But it represents the shed blood of Jesus, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There's absolutely no forgiveness without the shed blood of Jesus. So we want to take a moment to give thanks, and then the men will serve you. Tim, would you pray?
Almighty Heavenly Father, we come before you as brothers and sisters in your kingdom, and we thank you for that, Lord. The victory that you created on that cross, Lord. Give us forgiveness with your sacrifice, Lord, and new life with you rising again. We thank you for that and the power that the blood gives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Men will serve you. Yes. Okay, thanks, Diane. Yeah, don't let the parking at their house. There's ample room. And we're going to Jeannie's, and I think we're having meatballs at Jeannie's house. Take Mexican or meatballs. Take your pick. We're going to eat food. When we go to John and Michelle's, it's usually steak or barbecue chicken or something really good. So we always eat well. So if you're not part of a Sunday night small group, feel free to go. It's very personal. You know, no sermons. We'll probably talk about the sermon this morning, I know, at Jeannie's, and share what's going on and pray, and just a lot of fun. Well, growing up as a kid in a little town of western Pennsylvania, McDonald, communion time, Connie's mother, Isabel, was one of the deaconesses, and she prepared communion. She prepared the communion bread. And when I say bread, it wasn't really bread, it was communion cake. I hope Mark remembers it, and Tim. It was not like matzo crackers. Like, you wanted to take about three or four pieces of it, you know, when the communion tray came by. So it was really sweet and good. So matzo crackers, we know, represents sinless Jesus. And the stripes, the oven, the marks from baking it, the stripes that Jesus endured, the holes in the matzo cracker. He was pierced for us. You're welcome to share. God has answered prayer. He's healed you. If you want to sit quietly, talk to the Lord. You're allowed to sing if you come to the front and lead us. Okay? That's just the rule, so one at a time.
I'll just add, if you did want to bring something for something sweet, I don't have any dessert.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You know, the early church, their communion time was more of a love feast than little cups and little matzo crackers. So I'm looking forward to heaven. There'll be no more matzo crackers and grape juice. Really. There'll be like big old party. It's a good old time. Not that we need food, but I think we'll like it. We can eat it and not get fat. Now, some of you that are relatively new at ERC, you probably maybe need to forgive me that we have this like dead quiet time. It's like, why don't somebody get up and sing a song or play the piano? A lot of churches will play the organ, you know, and that's like seance music. I don't know. Not the organ, but during communion, like, we got to have this background music playing. I'm just like, that's me, so if that's not you, I'm sorry. I don't mind the silence. I get to look at you all, and you all looking at me. You guys ready? Okay. A simple little cup of grape juice represents the shed blood of Jesus. by drinking it, the grape juice does nothing for us. But by drinking it, we're really acknowledging that we're sinful and we need Jesus. That I'm a sinner, Lord. Save me, forgive me, cleanse me. And we sang that song about amazing grace. And it is all about amazing grace that God would touch us. And it's all because of the shed blood of Jesus. Let's drink together. Now, is everybody good? Nobody like, okay, we didn't have matzah today, we're a mess. You're all going to have lunch anyway, I know. And don't beat on the deaconesses. Or John. John Flager helps the deaconesses. So don't beat on John. Treat him to lunch or something someday. Everybody's okay? Okay, good. We're good. Let's stand. We're going to pray and leave. Father, thank you. Thank you. You're so good. Faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. We praise your name. As we leave here, let us rejoice and live and move in your presence, Lord. Amen. Thank you.